There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. This is John Katsalamidas, award-winning journalist.
I was going to say that.
And Greenspun Media Group. I write the Cats Report for The Sun and The Weekly, and I write for all their Greenspun Media Group titles. And my inspiration, as always, the light of my life, the reason I roll out of bed, most days, Trisha McCrone.
Thank you. I'm calling myself the Debbie Boone of this situation.
The Debbie Boone.
Because I light up your life.
To be.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about iHeartRadio, because it has sort of turned into a big entertainment story because of Green Day. And
This year's festival, you're absolutely right. iHeartRadio is a festival that is a promotional, it's a promotional festival for Clear Channel Radio, and iHeartRadio is their online radio platform where you can get all the Clear Channel radio.
And pretty much, you know, every big concert that takes place.
Yeah, they run
is Clear Channel.
The music universe, pretty much Clear Channel. So, so I covered it a year ago, the first one they had at MGM Grand Garden Arena, which was closed the second night by Lady Gaga, who is apparently very popular.
I've heard of her.
The second night, she's big. And the second night, or the second year, opening night, was punctuated by an appearance by Green Day, one of my favorite bands.
I love Green Day.
Billy Joe Armstrong.
Amazing.
they are a force.
And hello, Broadway musical.
Yeah, exactly. They're one of the few
American
bands of
Idiot.
That type.
Yeah.
Yeah, of that type that can make that can cross over into the Broadway genre and work. And they just put on a ferocious show anytime you see them. And I saw them, the first time I saw them was 2003 when they played all of American Idiot at the Joint for the first time. And they start with American Idiot. Now, keep in mind, the song American Idiot. Now, keep in mind, they're given 30 minutes, each of these bands. And Green Day is second to last, leading into Rihanna, who closes the first night. And coming after Usher, who put on an amazing
theatrical.
Usher's
ridiculous, yeah.
He's up there. I mean, he's one of the greatest you will see. He seriously is, for staging everything. He's a great dancer. So he does this full-blown around the arena production. And then Green Day comes out, which is just a straight rock band.
Yeah, they're just kill you with their tail.
Yeah, they blow into American Idiot. And the audience is sort of lethargic. It's a little bit like...
Because you've been there for 500 hours.
Yeah, it's the fifth hour about, 4.5 hours in. And here comes, you know, you're just coming off Usher and you've been there all day. And it's a little bit daunting because the way that these acts come out are really fast.
Yeah.
You know, they're really on top of each other the way they're staging. They just turn the stage around and it's already set, you know. And Armstrong comes out and they sing American Idiot. And the audience is not quite like a typical Green Day crowd. You know, when Green Day comes out and when
like
they come back to Mandalay Bay.
Bouncing up and down and mosh pit type situation.
Waves and waves of activity. Well, he doesn't like it. So he starts going off on the audience. This is not blanking Reno. This is Las Vegas. Like, wow, he just trashed Reno. And so he starts in on that tact and he's yelling at the audience and he's the F-bombs.
Yeah, and didn't he make a Bieber comment?
Yes, and so he gets a hold of the time from the monitor in the middle of the arena, and it's 9 minutes. It says 9 minutes, and he thinks he's just started.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? What's this? What's it? I've been around for 25 years. F-bombs everywhere. And then it got to 1 minute. He says, oh, great, 1 minute. I'm not just an Bieber.
Which, of course, makes Usher happy.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that
he
very...
discovered
he's mentored Bieber from the beginning. So then, now he's run afoul of Bieber, Usher...
And Reno.
and Reno and Clear Channel, mind you, which owns everything. So he goes off and he says, I'll show you what 1 minute... He goes, no, I've got no minutes. I've got no minutes. So he takes his guitar and he goes, I'll show you what no minutes look like. And he smashes... his guitar, I think it was a Fender Telecaster, a very sturdy instrument, pounds it on the stage, breaks it open. Then Mike Dirnt, the bass player, he takes his guitar, his bass, and starts slamming at the amplifiers. And I'm sitting with Mark Gray from People Magazine. And I'm telling you, mouths agape watching this. And I said, Mark, I don't think I have seen anything like this in or out of Las Vegas ever.
Well, and the punchline to the whole thing is that the next day... Billy Joe entered rehab.
Sunday, Billy Joe's on his way
to getting healthy
and going to rehab.
Yes, so he obviously that was, and now I'm sure everyone will forgive him, especially Clear Channel, because he is rehabilitating himself, which is wonderful to hear.
As Craig Ferguson
but it made
says
for a good story.
As Craig Ferguson calls it, the safe zone for entertainers.
Exactly. He is now in the safe zone, and we're happy that he's made that decision.
It is good because that was
he obviously needed help
from his antics. An example of somebody apparently. Yeah. Calling out for help, and I'm glad he's getting it, and they're going to be back February 8th, and I can't wait to see it.
I'm going to be there right with
we'll
you.
We'll go.
I'm just inviting myself. Okay, but let's talk about our great
and
show. And my mom. Because Bon Jovi may show up. Let's talk about our great show
Another
today.
Performer joining us today who hasn't broken any guitars lately that we know of. It's Lorraine Apparel. She's the singer for Fantasy at the Luxor, and she recently had a gig at Candlestick Park she's going to tell us all about. But first, Josh Bell with movies.
Hi, this is the Gazillionaire.
And this is Penny.
And we're from Absinthe, the hit new show here in Las Vegas. And you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Yo, yo.
Yeah! I want to talk about time travel. Because if we start talking about it, then we're going to be here all day talking about it, making diagrams with straws.
We both know how this has to go down. I can't let you walk away from this diner alive. This is my life now. I earned it. You had yours already.
That's Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis in the time travel thriller Looper. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Looper features Gordon-Levitt as an assassin in the year 2044 who calmly blows away anonymous victims sent back from the future until one day he's faced with his own older self, played by Willis. There are echoes of 12 Monkeys and especially the Terminator in Looper's story, and the movie's final third gets a little bogged down in familiar sci-fi tropes. But it rebounds with a satisfying, bittersweet ending, one that ties the movie together thematically, even if all of the plot elements don't quite add up. I give Looper 3.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the musical comedy Pitch Perfect, featuring Anna Kendrick as a sullen college freshman who reluctantly joins an all-female a cappella group and discovers that she loves it.
Do my eyes deceive me? Are you a Bard and Bella?
No.
You're one of those acapella girls, I'm one of those acapella boys, and we're gonna have acapella children. It's inevitable.
You're really drunk right now. I don't think you're gonna remember any of
this. I'm not drunk at all, you're just blurry.
So many teen movies are content to talk down to their target audience that it's refreshing to find one that takes the lives and interests of young people on their own terms. Pitch Perfect isn't breathtakingly original or fall down funny, but it has an infectious sense of fun, a charming cast, and a plot that celebrates diversity and dorkiness without coming across as cheesy. It opens in a handful of theaters this week and expands citywide next weekend. I give Pitch Perfect 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the star of the San Francisco 49ers home opener victory over the Detroit Lions at Candlestick Park a week ago Sunday. She sang the national anthem, the United States national anthem, coincidentally enough. She's also the vocalist for Fantasy at the Luxor. She's wearing a Frank Gore jersey, so don't try and tackle her. And a 49ers hat today. Welcome back to Cats of the Dish, Lorraine Apparel.
Hey,
yay!
Go Niners!
Having just appeared in front of 70,000 manic 49er faithful.
And we're doing the wave, just us. Hey,
thanks
crazy.
For having me.
It's crazy.
It's also my birthday, 21. That's also one of the...
Wow.
That's right.
Very good.
Happy belated.
And your age.
Oh, it's not till December, but it's the 21st of December. Thank you.
You'll be 21 then, right?
Yay.
I remember the number 21, and we were talking about this a little bit off air. Mm-hmm. It was Deion Sanders who were number 21 with the Niners.
That's right.
And before him, Eric Wright, another great player. When you were probably first becoming a 49er fan.
I was two.
Yeah. You probably were. Let's go through.
I wasn't born then, old man.
I know. No comment at all in the age division. Let's go through the process in which you became an anthem singer, which is not a new gig for you.
Yes, I was going to say, you have sung the national anthem a lot and are incredible at doing so. All you do is go to YouTube and, I mean, really, you've sung the national anthem so many places.
So many times, except this one time, the rehearsal went out the window. It was. Wow. I sang it not the way I was supposed to sing it.
Really?
Oh, I got emotional. I. It's a long story.
Okay,
but
let's start
talk
from the beginning because you are from the San Francisco area.
Born and raised. Okay. Yes. Born and raised San Francisco. Been a huge Niner fan. Went to every game with my father, Barry Baker, and my mother. It was a huge thing. And my stepbrothers and sisters, who were, some of them were at the game, by the way. And we always, you know, did the whole traditional tailgating thing, you know, with the RV before and after. And that was before I was a singer. I was still in high school. So I mean, I sang in my room, you know, but with a karaoke machine, but, and sang in church. And then we're going to this game every Sunday, and never in a million years would I ever thought I was would be singing for my team. And, you know, it was just insane. But, yeah, the audition process.
Yeah, I mean, how did you become aware of it? I mean, was it something online? Did how, I mean, how did you know that? Because this was kind of like an almost like an open cattle call for a way of singers, right?
Yes. Ever since I've been singing the anthems for LA Kings or Clippers or UNLV, I decided, you know what? I would love to do the 49ers. I just don't know how to do that. So my friend John Kirk, dear friend of mine, who's a federal agent and my promoter at night, he is a huge fan, and he just wants to do whatever he can to, you know, help me in my career. And that means so much to me. He's a good, good person. He submitted my video. He just submitted my video to the online audition process. And
this was posted on the team website.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is this the first time they'd ever done that?
Yeah. First time I've ever sent it, heard back. First he said, call me right away. Are you busy? And I was like, well, I wasn't really that busy.
I'm Lorena Pearl.
No, I just been swamped with promos, and you know, and I was busy. Sometimes you just want to stay quiet. I'm like, I don't know what's it about. He's like, well, it's about the 49ers, so you better call me. I'm like, okay. I was really in the middle of eating a burrito that I just couldn't wait.
Which kills me because she's like the size of a peanut, and I'll rip that she's eating a burrito. I just gained a pound hearing her say that.
Yeah, it goes to my hair.
She lost weight.
Yes. Good God. I thought I had to wear Depends during the anthem. Good Lord. I was like, please, God, don't. This is my moment. But he sent the video. They called him, and they responded by an email or a call. I forgot what it was, one or the other. And he told me the news that I've been chosen to audition in person in Santa Clara at Great America.
And you had to submit a clip of you singing.
Yes, he did submit one of the LA Kings.
Okay. So how many people submitted their videos?
I believe, I want to get this right, it's either 3,000, it said thousands, 3,000 down to 300 and down to 33. The 33 were the ones at Great America that had to show up and audition live. So they had a panel of judges, you know, just like they do on Idol. And I didn't notice that till the end. I'm like, oh, there they are. There was just so many people walking around. And it was like, you know, kids crying and there's popcorn everywhere and hot dogs. I was like, I was just so ADD that day because my family from Chico came and my mom and dad were there. And it was just my best friend. It was amazing. And so they did the whole thing. They lined you up and they give you a number. And I guess number 32. Yeah.
Out of 33.
Out of 33.
I was
the
second to last. So I sang it, and then I was chosen one of the 12, and then I had to sing again, and then it was eight of us. That was the final, you know, and then they made the announcements of who were chosen for the slots, because they filled 5 slots. And my name wasn't being called, and I see these sweet kids that are so talented. I'm like, that would be so mean if I beat these kids or these, you know, they were really good. So I was like, I understand. At least, I made it this far. But they called my name at the end, so I screamed like I was right in front of a little child. I was like, yeah! My arms up in the air, and I'm like, oh, shoot, this little kid's like, biatch. No,
he's like crying.
No, they were sweet. I think one of the teenagers were chosen, but I mean, the kid was like 5. Really, come on. But next year, I'm in my 30s. Okay, this is my only chance.
Tough luck.
You have 30 times.
Well, we have the photo of you that I posted.
I look like I'm 12.
Yeah, you do. You look like a little kid yourself next to the little kid who's.
I turned into that little kid next to me. So that was just already, we celebrated. We went to a Mexican restaurant, of course. And we all had a wonderful time, then flew back that night or the next day. And I just couldn't wait to hear what date I was going to get, because I honestly wanted October 7th, not the home opener. I didn't think about that. I just wanted that date because my brother, and this is why I got emotional in the anthem. My brother and my mother was going to go to Mexico to see my grandma and my grandpa who weren't feeling too well. So that was her her birthday present, for because her birthday is October 7th. It was going to be initially her going to see my grandma and grandpa. So Ray, John, and I.
Your husband.
Yeah, my husband. Very talented. My talented, amazing husband.
Yes, you're also a high school grad.
Well, from Chico. I do have to say, I always talk about how I'm from Ohio, and I talk about Cleveland and Ohio incessantly on the show. We have to let Chico, California, Chico. John Katz right here, Chico. And Ray John,
Pleasant Valley.
And
Pleasant
Valley Lorena, all of them are Chicoans.
Like well, we're Northern Chicos. Californians in regional yes. sense, but Ray John and I are both from Chico.
Yeah.
I lived there from when I was 13 years old until an adult, and Ray John was about 10 years behind me at Pleasant Valley High School.
I think
about 10
years. Oh, you're nice.
I knew Ray John's father. This is the connection.
Ray
as a sportscaster in Chico, my hometown. I remember him going to basketball games and sitting next to his father. And then I moved down here, and I was interviewing you on the phone when you got into fantasy. I think it was right before, right at that time, and you started talking mm-hmm. about your background. And Chico came up.
Right.
And I'm like, whoa, hold on here. And I'm like, I'm from Chico. And she goes, oh my God, you got to know Ray John. And then I said, well, what's his last name? When you said Narbites, I freaked out. Yeah.
I mean, he was huge.
So,
And it was just amazing how, and then that's when he took over the phone. Ray John's like, hey, let me talk to him.
That's when the interview ended.
Then all of a sudden it became the Ray John interview.
So anyway, that's the whole Northern California connection we've got here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you wanted the 7th of October, but you didn't know what date it was.
You had to choose a slot and only one date. And I chose October 7th. A lot of people wanted me to do like Monday night or home opener, but I didn't really know home opener was that big of a deal. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad I did it. They gave me that spot. I mean,
what set it apart was it was an NBC game. It was a national television game, late game. So it's like Sunday Night Football.
Yes.
Night Football America.
I'm glad now. But the sad part was my mother and my brother couldn't be there. My mother's in Mexico and her birthday is October 7th and they had an option to do that date.
Yeah.
So as a present for my mom's 60th birthday, sorry, Mama. she looks 30. My husband and I, Ray John, treated her for 3 weeks in Mexico to go see
grandma
and grandpa. So she's still there. So when I got my dates, she's like, ay, Chihuahua, I can't be there. It was so cute. I've never heard her say Chihuahua. Ay, Chihuahua. I was like, Mom, I know. And she's like, I can't be there, record it. And I said, okay. So I was missing my mom that Sunday evening. And my brother is training right now. He was supposed to leave end of August to Afghanistan, but he's doing a special task for the third time. And I'm very proud of him. So he is at 29 Palms right now training.
Shout out to your mm-hmm. brother. Mm-hmm. Yes. There's real heroes absolutely. In the world.
Mm-hmm. Right. So mm-hmm. here I get this, you know, amazing opportunity to sing for the 49ers. I'm pumped up. I'm lost 4 pounds last week.
You cannot afford to lose.
I know. Every time someone's like, are you excited? I'm like, hold on. You know, I'm not afraid to make fun of myself. That was the truth. I was like, oh, here goes my stomach. And the minute I got there, it was just, it was insane. The whole thing was insane. I had no time to tailgate or go. It was crazy. There was no reception at Candlestick Park. So I'm trying to find my friends that
I was looking for Twitter updates from Ray John during
this. Oh my God.
Because I was watching this at the MGM Grand. I happened to be at the MGM.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Oh, really? Uh-huh. We had to stand like in corners or like on the cement just to try to get reception or like, you know, hold our phones up in the air and trying to find a spot to get a hold of my family because we were all scattered around. Yeah. And I'm in the green room changing, and I go out there, and I finally find him, like, around 4 o'clock, 4:30, and I'm supposed to be backstage ready to go by 5. So I'm still in this 49er gear, and I'm supposed to be in a nice red suit. So my husband and I are running around. My mother-in-law, whether my father-in-law, my sister-in-law, my best friend, Simone, and some of the girls from Fantasy were there, and my dad, and that's my dad mm-hmm. made my dad's entire year, his whole Aww. Life. So,
now I have a question. Had you ever sung in such a like a stadium environment like that?
No.
So from what I've heard, that there is a like you hear yourself come back like 2 seconds later. Was that the case? Were you prepared for that?
It was like that during sound check. So I had sound check at 2 o'clock, and they said, "Oh, you're going to be on the stage," and I said, "Oh, I'm on a stage." I thought. Normally, what I've seen, you're on the grass in a mic stand. Oh, she's like, oh, no, there'll be these Marines behind you. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, no way. And I'm thinking of my brother. So I had sound check. And on the field, it's all the Detroit Lions, you know, practicing and stretching. So there's this guy, this Detroit, I didn't check out his number, but he was like literally, his butt was right in front of me. He's like totally bent over and stretching. And I'm here singing the anthem. So I'm singing, I hear this feedback, and I'm like, okay. So I had to do it again. And when I was done, he kind of bends, he kind of turns to the side and he's just like doing a thumbs
up.
Yeah, I'm like, thanks. I see your ass and your thumbs up.
But so, he was listening.
He was. So the training coach, his name is Dean, comes up to me and shakes my hand and said, great job. And I'm also a good friend of your friend, comedian friend. I'm like, Sean? He's like, no, it's Gene Marola, who's a dear friend of mine from Carnival Cruise Lines.
Oh, wow.
So they're good friends.
He really knew. Okay.
So he's like, that was a great job.
So now you haven't sung it, but you didn't get that? Like, you didn't hear yourself singing back
at you? I did in soundcheck, but not...
Well, how come?
I don't know.
Is it the people, maybe?
I don't know. I was also in such a zone, and yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, something took over me where I... And this is the thing. When I got to soundcheck, got back, met with my family, got the tickets, got in, changed. The minute I walked through they were walking me through the field, and I remember it was empty.
Yeah.
Walking through the field, and I have this all on video footage. I have to send you the behind the scenes, mm-hmm. how it looks when mm-hmm. you're walking from the entertainment center. Cool, huh? And then you start hearing this roar, and Ray John's behind me going, there's my wife. She's about to sing the anthem. And my dad's with me, and it's just packed. I mean, it was empty. And I was like, rah! My heart started just beating, and I was like, holy crap. And she's like, okay, so your family's going to stand on the field, which some family was able to stand right on 50-yard line,
aww.
Right next to the Niners. And it was just amazing. So there was this little cute boy standing next to me doing the whole
sign.
It was amazing. So it was kind of comforting to have him next to me. So the lady on the set said, okay, you go when they say your name. I'm like, okay. So I stand I'm on the actual stage. No one told me there was going to be pyros. No one said there was going to be like 1,000 troops standing on the field with the size of the flag.
With the flag.
Size of the entire field.
Yeah, right.
So I see all these military guys coming out and they're marching and Marines. I mean, it's just overwhelming. And I thought of my brother. So I lost it. I started crying. And my friend can see that. My friend Simone, my best friend's like, no, put it together because you need it. You know, she wanted me to sing right.
You can't have your throat closed up when you're crying.
You know, because your throat times up. So here I am about to lose it. And I had to like find my chi and get back in the zone. And then that was it. They said, Lorraine Apparel. I saw the fans. I saw the team come out. I saw the flag, the troops, my family. And the nerves just went out and something took over and I just sang it totally a different way.
Was it a cappella?
Yes.
Wow.
And how come?
I started higher.
Yeah. Well, you said you had rehearsed quite a bit.
I mean,
you practiced before this.
Unlike
other anthem appearances where you just went in and sang it very easily.
Yeah.
Did that process at all help or maybe hinder you when you actually
up
there?
I think it did help a little. And during sound check, they did want me to sing it traditional. They said just a pointer. We would love to have it traditional as possible. So, which is awesome because I'm not going to, you know, like you sing it, John. I'm sorry. I can't do it that way.
I know, exactly.
You overdo it.
As Christina would say, I think you oversang.
Right? What is she talking about?
That's what that's what she would say about Kat.
So I just sang. You know, I was singing from the heart. I literally was just feeling every moment, and I can't explain what was going through me, and my arms were out in the air and just
acting it out, and at the end
I was just feeling it. I was just telling a story. It was awesome feeling.
Yeah, I've been in crowds at Candlestick, especially, mm-hmm. and in other places, but at Niner games, and at the end, especially for a big game, playoff games like you know,
yeah.
And at the end of the anthem, no matter what's going on, you go nuts at the end of it. And that was the case for you. I mean, that explosive roar,
yes, and especially being your team. It was amazing. My family's there watching. I kind of peeked over and saw them, and they, you know, it was just, they were smiling. They were just, my dad's mouth was just open, like, wow. And they were waving the flag, you know, mm-hmm. the troops, and pyros were shooting out. Thank God, I would normally do a karate pose on that, but because if I hear anything explode or little pops here and there, I'll do like one of these, like Jackie Chan pose.
She definitely has her karate hands going in the studio right now.
Can you imagine? And I knock down the microphone stand and it's like, hee, feedback.
You kick over the kid who's signing.
Oh my God,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah, kick over
punch him in the nose.
Oh,
the troops fall down. It's, oh God.
You'll never be invited back. Did they know, Lorena? Because I was trying to figure out how much affiliation they would give you to fantasy. Because here you are. Oh. I mean, the 49ers. I mean, you know, the team itself. Because here you are. You are a legitimate Las Vegas performer, a star who could make your way as the anthem singer without having to audition through the whole process.
Right.
You could probably go to them and say, "Look, I've done all this stuff."
I know.
They didn't introduce you fantasy or from Las Vegas.
But it's in. They actually have it on the 49ers website.
Okay.
Anita Mann, Fantasy Production, from Las Vegas.
Anita made the call. Anita made the call, didn't she?
No,
I had to send a bio.
She called Jim Harbaugh.
No, stop. They used to date. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God.
No, they actually, Jasmine Hall was the entertainment director of the 49ers. She said, all I need is a short bio.
Oh, okay.
So I sent her a long bio, then a short bio, but she still included fantasy. She had no problem with that, you know, being a top of the show. Yeah. We were worried about it, but no, they knew everything about the show. And some of the people that have seen Fantasy were at the game and they Facebooked me. So that was awesome. And
I'm sure there are a lot
of F&B vice president Jason was there at the game. He texted me, he's like, wait a
second. From the hotel.
From the Luxor?
And we hung out after the game.
Oh my gosh.
We were staying a block away from our hotel. It was crazy.
Wow, that's
one of the chefs from the Asian restaurant.
So I'm wondering if this might open up a channel for you to sing there again without having to go through all the hoops.
Really, really hope so, because they did. I was in the program. I had a little picture, and it said from Fantasy. So I forgot to tell Anita that, but it's in the
29th. Anita Man.
Mm-hmm.
Have to do that.
Yeah. Never fails.
So that was amazing, and it was over, and went back to change it into this.
Yes,
and then you got to watch the game.
And then, yes, and they took us to our press box seats. I was like, holy macro. And it's me, my father, Barry Baker, Ray Narbite Sr., and Ray John. So it was both of us and our dads.
That's so cute.
Second, third generation, you know. Oh, my God.
I wonder this. Did you and Ray John meet? We were talking about this last night, Kat and I. Did you guys meet in California or did you meet here in Vegas?
No, we met in Vegas. And
it
was amazing when he told me where he was from and big 49er fan. It was just, how amazing is that?
That's so weird.
Because he could be a Chargers fan or just support.
Yeah, that is really coincidental. I hadn't remembered where you guys actually met. I didn't know if you guys knew each other.
We were both matching. He was so cute. And he was so good. He took care of me. He was like my stylist, my assistant.
Aww.
And don't speak too much. Your voice, you know, trying to take care. Give me water. And he's like, anything you need. He's like, I don't like those earrings. He put the other sparkly ones. He's like,
he
was so sweet. I was trying to curl my hair. And my dad's like, he hasn't sat down once. He was working his butt off.
Aww.
Thank you, baby. I love you.
I'm going to try that thing with the voice. Don't speak too much, Dishy.
Yeah, because you had to sing tonight.
Because you have to record the show next week. Don't speak to me until then.
Be careful. You're overdoing it already. You know how I hate this. It breaks my heart.
And the funny thing is, I was like, now I can eat. So I wanted to get a beer.
So you went for Mexican?
No, shut up. I had Mexican already. No, I wanted a beer. And we were in the press box. They had no liquor, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. They had like lots of great food. But
in the old
days,
they had beer.
I need a beer. So we went downstairs and we waited in the line. And Rachel was like, that's the anthem singer. I'm like, baby, stop. They're like, you go. You know? So we're back on the elevator and I see Bob. Well, I didn't know it was him, Bob Costas. And he's on our VIP elevator because I had the pass that I was wearing. And Ray John was like, wow, baby, that's Bob Costas. I'm like, who?
Oh, no.
And I was like, wait, I need to know see his face because I'm bad with names. I'm really bad. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, yes, I get it. So I'm standing next to him and it's like four of us here. And he's like fixing us, you know.
He's very tiny.
Yeah, and he's like, he respectfully asked for a picture. And he's like, you know, okay, make this quick because we got to go. He's like, well, she just sang the anthem. And he's like, oh, you did. I said, I'll only take a picture I'll only take a picture with you if I charge you $5. And he goes, and he laughed, and he said, good one, young lady. And he shook my hand. He's like, let's take that picture.
Oh, cute.
That's a cool shot.
Yeah, and I said, no, seriously, where's my $5?
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm kidding.
Well, we could not be more proud of you being here in Vegas, and much deserved.
Yeah, I got chills. It was really, because I know what it means to you. I mean, it was a very cool thing, and I'm really, really happy that you were able to do it.
And thanks for coming on and talking about it with me.
Thank you.
And sharing
Fantasy.
Singer for Fantasy, check her out nightly. And what nights are you dark over there?
Never.
You're never dark.
I'm dark Wednesdays.
Wednesdays.
For now. Yes.
Okay.
And on October 16th, come see us for media calendar launch party. Yay.
Good to see you in the calendars.
Woo!
Lorraine Apparel, Fantasy, and 49ers. Thanks
October
again.
16th.